Psalm 127, a song of ascent of Solomon. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labour in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate.
Thank you so much for reading. And let me add my welcome to Kev. On our journey to Zion today, let me introduce you to two of the characters of our psalm: Captain Do-It-All and Super Busy Woman. By the way, as you can see, Jess, my wife, and I have watched a lot of Marvel movies during our time of lockdown. Anyway, first, Captain Do-It-All. What a guy he is. Up on the ladder early in the morning, working on the house. And then it's now 12 p.m., but no time for lunch. He's already up on the wall, working at watching over the city, looking at the hills, focused on the task, defending the city. What a job he's doing. What a guy. Meet now Super Busy Woman. Up before anyone else, and still not in bed long after midnight. The reason is that she has loads of stuff to do tomorrow, so she is busy preparing her BAT sandwich. Right, you've heard well, BAT, not BLT, bread of anxious toil. She's having that every day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You know, sometimes not so fun to be so busy. Busy, of course they are, of course. There is just so much to do. Reason is, they have a pretty special job. They're not working on any house or helping any city after all. Our psalm this week is from King Solomon, the man in charge of King David's legacy. And so Solomon's job is to bring from the ground the house of the Lord and watch over the Lord's blessed city, Jerusalem, the capital of the people of God. So we're not talking of any house or any city. Big boss, big responsibilities, and big jobs. So even though it's not sometimes so much fun to be so busy, well, that's very, very important for them to do their job. And so I'm wondering if sometimes they feel like it is a bit intense to be serving the Lord on all his projects. Well, welcome to their lives today. But I'm wondering how familiar they are to you. Jess and I praise God for the privilege to be on the front row at Houston Church and see him working in people's life. And particularly this year, we've been privileged to see so many of you guys serving the Lord with your lives. Whether you've been on the welcome team or the coffee rota, whether you've been a midweek Bible study leader or an evangelist at work on your course, whether you've been a prayerful friend, a great mum or an amazing son, a hard-working student or a faithful worker. And in all of that, pointing to King Jesus, serving the Lord with your life. But after such an intense year, and this one has been particularly intense, I know the Christian life can sometimes feel a bit frantic. There is just so much that can be done. So many people who do not know Jesus and are pouring over from the tube at Houston Station or People who do not know Jesus at your local Tesco or Sainsbury, or so many UCL students who have big dreams, but dreams without God. There is really no place like London to witness gospel opportunities popping up at every turn. There is just so much that can be done. Well, maybe you're new to the Christian life, and this talk about busyness from the Lord has already got you already tired. Or maybe you do not call yourself Christian yet, and the way it feels right now is that being Christian will be a lot of hard work or cause you more anxiety. Well, I'm wondering if, like me sometimes, you feel like the Christian life, serving the Lord, well, it is a bit intense. Now, over the last few weeks, we've been going through the Songs of Ascents. They are the Lord's gift to us, a collection of 15 songs to help us walk the journey of the Christian life towards our heavenly Jerusalem. And if you've been with us so far, you will know that they have been arranged in clusters of three. And each of these clusters repeats the same melody: distress, hope, and home. So this week, as we look at the second psalm of this cluster, we know we're here for help. But the other important piece of context is that this week, like last week, with the sowing and harvesting, we're exploring the topic of serving on the journey towards Zion. The psalm is of Solomon and his responsibility at building and watching over the city. But this psalm is also a song of ascent, a psalm about our own personal journey, about the ways we are building the household of the Lord now as we journey towards Zion. And so, help in service, that's our theme today. And if we're having a psalm on help this week, well, the first two verses, they help us to clarify the problem: self-reliant toil. Look with me at verses 1 and 2 of our psalm. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil. Three times the word "in vain" appears in the first half of the psalm, and the word means for nothing. In the context, despite the efforts of the builder, the fancy machinery involved, the sweat, the resulting edifice is for nothing, a nothing house, good for nothing, no added value. Despite the efforts of the watchman, the CCTV and all, the city is not even a bit safer. The builder, like the watchman, they achieve nothing. Like trying to empty the water from the sea with a shovel. Hard work, but hard work for nothing. And not only are workers toil in vain, but they really don't seem to enjoy themselves in the process. Limited sleep, strict discipline, bread of anxious toil, really not the way you would describe your dream job. Well, that's because at its core, our builder or watchman have an attitude of self-reliance in the work they're doing, and it gets them nowhere. When they think they're those in charge, well, they feel anxious when they think that it's all down to them. And the main issue with this attitude of self-reliance, actually, is the fact that the Lord is completely absent. Of course, it feels like we can do it on our own, but our psalm shows it twice. Why is it a problem? It is the Lord who builds and watches over the city. It is the Lord who does the job. And when we work without him, well, it is in vain. The Lord has to be at the center of it. And so the beginning of the psalm gives us a chance to pause and reflect on our motivations, on our drive when we do things. Is the Lord in there? It's also a chance for us to confess our frantic, self-reliant efforts to achieve things by our own means. And this is a hard lesson, but a lesson we too often forget. But at the same time, confessing this tendency is the right place for us to start, because it helps us to cry for help. And this is where our psalm goes next. From where does my help come from? Remember Psalm 121? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. And here, the Lord helps us to remember our station. Look with me at verse 2. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for it gives to his beloved sleep. The Lord's answer to our anxious toil is sleep. Here you go, by the way. You find here the biblical justification for sleeping in the morning. More seriously, of course, if you've been sleepless or sleep deprived because of work, well, a nap would do you a lot of good. However, is sleep really what we need? And especially given our temptation of reliant toil, the problem that we've exposed. Well, the reason I think the Lord is giving his beloved sleep is that it's worth much more than just a power nap. Look again at Psalm 121. My help comes from the Lord. Behold, who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Who is the one, the only one, who never sleeps? The Lord is. And that is one of the main things that sets him apart from any other being. Me? I need sleep. In other words, I am not the Lord. And so in giving me sleep, the Lord reminds me of my station, that ultimately I am not the Lord. I am limited. I am dependent. And this is really humbling. Because as we said already, we need to come in terms with the fact that by ourselves we are not able to build, watch over anything, achieve anything. Surely, it feels like we can do it. And even in London and for our generation, it feels that we should be able to do it when we look at others. But that is simply not true. It is humbling, but it is also liberating, because it ends up being exactly what we need, the help I need. When we think I'm in charge, well, the anxiety kicks in when I think that it's all down to me. And the Lord knows that it's crushing to believe that, particularly when we really want to do our best to please him and serve him. And so thank God that we are not in charge. Thank God that it is not down to us. So when the Lord reminds us that I am limited, he offers me the help I need. Because by myself, I can't. But the Lord can. And that's the humbling, liberating reminder I need. But then if the Lord builds and watches over the city, well, should I just let him get on with the work? Should I just actually get that sleep that we're talking about? And the answer is no, not really. The reason is that the Lord has something much better, a much better alternative for work. And the alternative is blessed dependent partnership. Behold is the first word of verse 3. And Solomon wants to get our attention. Should I just get on and let the Lord do the work? Behold, here comes the answer. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies at the gate. Behold, would you like to know the secret of the good life, the blessed life? The secret to never be put to shame by your enemies in the gate. Look with me at verse 4. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. The answer is many children. They come up four times, 33 to 5. And this statement can seem a bit odd at first. But if we take it for what it's there for, isn't it just a perfect example of dependent partnership? Dependent as it is the Lord who gives children, partnership as you know, the parents are very much involved in the process of having babies. And that's exactly the point the author makes in verse 3. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. Children are both a heritage from the Lord, something that you do not work for, and a reward, something that is the result of one's work. And that's exactly, actually, the point that was made all along in verse 1. Remember, the Lord is the one who builds, yes, but the builder also needs to build. And if the Lord builds, the builder does not bless in vain. It's actually a blessed partnership, blessed, dependent partnership. So now it's worth saying at this point that we need to be careful about the way we apply particularly those three verses. It is good and right that Christians want to have children. Children are really a blessing from the Lord. But struggling to have children is a very painful thing for people. And it can be made doubly painful when you're told from verses like this one that if you do not have kids, you are somehow not fulfilling the Lord's purpose for your life, or that the Lord is removing his blessings from you. And so now it is helpful to remember how Jesus redefines kingdom and nations for us in the New Testament. And the way Jesus redefines family in particular, the great global spiritual household of the Lord. He explained that to enter his household, his family, we need to be born again, for instance, in John 3. And of course, Christians keeps having children in this era after Jesus, but the lasting fruit of the womb is people being born again and growing in the family, the household of the Lord. And that's actually the kind of building work we can all be involved in now. Remember, not any house or city we're working on our journey of the Christian life. We're talking about working, building the Lord's household. And Sam actually helped us to start to think about it last week in Psalm 126 with the sowing and reaping. It is about people, not grain, about the salvation of souls. And this is blessed work because this sowing activity is guaranteed success. Shouts of joy, plenty sheaves when will come the harvest at the end of time. And with the Lord, therefore we know that this work is not done in vain. But as we close, let me share with you one last thought of application. In the previous week, we said that this collection of Songs of Ascent is here to help us in our relationship with the Lord as we journey to Zion. And that is striking to find in the middle of the psalm, a psalm about serving, working for the Lord. Is the Christian life more about serving? Well, too often I have that one-dimension view of my time, of my journey to Zion, here to work. But that's not what the Songs of Ascent seem to suggest. That's not even what the Psalm 127 seem to suggest. At the core of the serving for the Lord, there is a partnership. And at the core of a partnership, well, surprise, there is a relationship. That's what Psalm 127 is all about dependence on the Lord in our building work, relationship. Because we're not primarily qualified as employees, but instead named His beloved. And I'm actually wondering if this partnership is one of our main blessings of this relationship that we have with the Lord. This is a true privilege. And so serving starts with a relationship and is about a relationship with the Lord. And so now you might be wondering how it might change things practically. Well, I think that it looks more like changing our attitude. But practically, taking this teaching to heart will impact the way we pray. Are we quick to express our dependence on the Lord when the to-do lists increase? The Lord will use our prayers, yes. But I'm saying, talking about praying, because it is actually the ultimate test to figure out whether our attitude towards serving is right. And so this psalm is inviting us to get on with the building work for the Lord because of the blessing to work for something that is not in vain. But even more than that, this psalm is an invitation to deepen our relationship with the Lord by realizing what is on offer as we serve Him, a dependent partnership with the One who made heaven and earth and is at work today in the world in a wonderful way. So for all of us, Captain Do-It-All and Super Busy Woman, praise God for our zeal and desire to serve Him. But Lord, please forgive us for our self-reliant toil. Thank you for reminding us of our station, our dependence on you. And instead of anxiety, please give us the joy to partner with you, Lord, in this amazing work you're doing in this world.